Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. So many things are going on. We quickly kind of went through them. It'll kind of give you some perspective. Also joining me in the extra hour to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio's program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
We're going to be having the moment of wisdom in the extra hour. Also, we're going to be having the citizenship test. We're going to find out if Pat and John are going to stay in America as we move to the next questions on the U.S. citizenship test. We want to welcome all of our new listeners. Realize there is hope. This is the season to rejoice. Listen, it was all hopeless until one day, what we celebrate on December 25th, a Savior was born. It was hopeless prior to that, but because Jesus lived and Jesus died and Jesus was raised from the dead, and if we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, there's hope. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. We are celebrating. He is the reason for the season. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, John, I'm sure you got all of your Christmas shopping totally over now.
Have I done all of my Christmas shopping?
Yeah, of course.
No, not all of it. I kind of wait a little bit till we get a little bit closer.
Man, make sure you get my stuff before they get rid of it.
All right.
My goodness. And no, Pat, I don't want a Saints shirt.
No, yeah. I definitely
don't want a Saints shirt.
Definitely will not be getting you a Saints shirt.
Did you hear? The senator from Utah, I can't think of his name now. He's the
Hatch.
Yes, no, not Hatch. The other senator.
I didn't know there was another senator.
Oh yeah, there's two. That's the next question on the test.
Yeah, there's two and everything.
Just don't tell him. Now you'll tell him that. I can't think of his name right now. He's the one that. Nevada.
Harry Reid.
He used the analogy of what's going on right now with the talks over the financial cliff as the Jets. Did you hear that?
Mm-mm.
That they can't determine who their quarterback's going to be. They don't know if it's going to be
Tim Tebow. Sanchez.
Right. And it says, and he goes, that's the problem with the Republicans. They don't know who their quarterback is. And then the Democrats come back and say, The problem is the Democrats know who their quarterback is, but he keeps on throwing a foul or something like that. I don't know what it was. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, wouldn't that be tough to be on the football team and they're using you as an analogy?
I know it.
It's like, are they having problems up there? Are they having problems figuring out who's going to be the quarterback?
I don't know. Sanchez can't pull out no victories, and Tim Tebow's hurt now with some busted ribs, so now they had to go to the third string.
Did he play to get that hurt, or did something else have to happen?
Yeah, I think he got hurt in the game.
Really? That was tough. Well,
he does punt coverage for some reason.
Punt?
Yeah.
Coverage. Yeah. Punt.
Okay.
And you punt
yes,
the ball.
Right, punt the ball.
Oh, okay.
I didn't understand what you're talking about. He's the football fan. I think Tim Tebow probably could play with some rough ribs.
Yeah, he's a pretty tough dude.
He is a tough, tough dude. Well, so talk to us, John. Talk to us. What is happening in all this snow?
Well, we haven't had too much snow here lately. I mean, it did snow not too long ago, but the snow melted away. That was my coffee there. Sorry.
I was like, my goodness.
Wow, that's some serious
I
coffee.
I heard it go down, man. It's like, woo.
It was good coffee this morning.
It must have been.
But we are, you know what? I am very excited for the snow this year. This year, I am hoping to be able to get on some skis. I've been wanting to go skiing.
What?
At least once. Now I am a serious.
Are you sure?
A sled rider now. I mean, I can
remember this
sled.
Word right here: bunny slope. There's a bunny slope.
That right.
Well, those are dangerous.
And I know you need to stop. Just put your feet, you know, inward. You know, I can figure this thing out. Listen, I will supply you with the video.
We want the video. We want to make that available to everybody.
But I am a serious sled rider.
Yes.
I like the hills, you know, when we go fast speeds, but I'm getting ready for a nice big snowfall.
Maybe, you know, you can set it right by the Hudson and just kind of slide right into the Hudson and go from
No.
Right?
No. it still just blows me away.
The polar bear club, right?
That water.
What about the polar bear?
No polar bear. No. No polar bear here.
Like the nuclear polar bear.
Arm may fall out. You can.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. Well, I know it was snowing in Denver. You know, they sent us. It was snowing at one time, wasn't it? Snowing recently.
Yeah, it did snow, but then it just kind of just went away. That's the kind of nice snow. We want to linger just a little bit longer, but it snowed one day, about four inches or so, and then the sun came out, and then it just completely melted away, nice and clean before you had any kind of mess or
slush. Slush. Yes. That's what really makes snow really bad is the oil and the dirt mixture afterward. It's like a it's like a 3 foot deep mud puddle. It's crazy.
Man. Listen,
especially in Manhattan.
There's nothing worse now.
What?
Walking down, you know, you do a lot of commuting, you're walking on the sidewalks, and you don't know a pothole or something, and you fall right in one.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Or they drive by and hit it with their tire, and then the mud puddle ends up on you.
This is true. You can't just walk. Forget driving in Texas. You can't walk in Texas, so you'd be wearing some serious stuff.
Right. Well, you know, it is time, and I'm so excited. It is time for the citizenship test where Pat and John... Oh, that's ended all of a sudden. The citizenship test where they've been taken. It's a 100-question test that everybody that becomes an American citizen has to pass this test. If they don't pass this test, then they do not become an American citizen. Mm. The question that we're asking ourselves, do we even know it as Americans? And does Congress know it, and have they forgot it?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding out that we might not know all of these. We need to learn. We need to reboot about our country. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously, we're finding out John knows less than Pat.
Well, Pat's been Googling up, you know.
Have you been Googling yet?
I have not Googled once.
He has so much time on his hands. That's just totally amazing.
Yeah.
Painting, everything these days. You know,
I'm just, like it's like a Discovery Channel.
Hey, at least my dog is smart.
Have
not
you seen the
smart
dog?
Enough to drive, though.
The dog,
not smart
yeah,
enough to drive.
That was pretty wild, man. That dog looks over his shoulder, his left shoulder, and had his hand on the wheel. I'm like, that looks real. That looks
he said,
really
what's
real.
Up?
That looks like Pat before he shaves in the morning. Well, it's time for the citizenship test. We've been taking this, and if you haven't heard it, you can go back and hear them on your app or at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. But we need to really get these. And I think in the future, once we work our way through these, is that we want to hit the streets and find out, you know, interview you and find out, do you know these things? Probably have a call in or whatever. But we are on our next 5 questions for today. So I will present the question to you. Then you need to take time to think, because when you're ready to get, you got to let me know when you're ready to give the answer, mm-hmm. because that will be your final answer. Okay, here we go. Today's question off the United States citizenship test that allows you to stay in America. I mean, how could you? I mean, if you don't pass this, wouldn't you be just ashamed? Like, I don't even deserve to be here.
Mm.
I just need to leave. I'm going to go to Syria. You know, think about it. He's like, wait, I got it. I mean, think about that. It'd be a shame, wouldn't it? And of course, we're finding out whether, you know, John knows this stuff or not. But here we go. Here is question number next. The first question for today. And the question is to Pat. A different mode. He seems to have joy when you're righteous on you. And it goes in this mode thing. Okay, here's the question. Question number one question for today is who makes federal laws? Who makes federal laws? Of course, we're talking about the United States Constitution. We're talking about, you know, America. What does it take to be a citizen? So what we're asking the question is, if you want to become a citizen, you got to answer this question. Pat's thinking about it now. Mm. Is who
is that smoke going on?
Yeah, who makes federal laws? Who makes the federal laws? All right, here he goes. Is this going to be your final answer?
Be my first one.
Your first final answer. First final answer. Okay, here's the question. The question is, for your citizenship test, mm-hmm. if you can actually be a citizen of America, who makes the federal laws?
Congress.
Hey, oh my goodness. I know, listen, that's really good, I know it's got to be really confusing right now because it really seems like the executive branch makes it.
Yeah.
Right. You think about all these policies and these czars and these people being put into place. That's why people are kind of what's going on here, because they're not supposed to be making the laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put me in jail because you write a policy about how, you know, a land use should be, and it ends up with me being in jail, it's like, didn't you just make a law?
Mm-hmm.
How can you, you know, Congress is the one supposed to make a law.
Mm-hmm.
And so important when they're talking about, you know, the debt ceiling, that Congress is the one that determines whether the debt ceiling will go up or not. Well, the president, the executive branch, is saying that we don't want to have to go to Congress. I don't want to have to go to Congress to give me permission to raise the debt ceiling, to be able to borrow more money. Well, it says right here, to be able to be a citizen is like, who makes the law? Well, it's Congress. And you think Congress is made up of, you know, the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So you did really good. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Smiles now. Look at that.
But that's really important because, you know, it doesn't look that way today. It's like, Congress, you look powerless. Why are you acting that way? And how come you're not, if you have equal powers to the executive branch,
mm-hmm.
why aren't you standing up? Why aren't you, you know, saying, well, you can do that if you want to, but we're not going to pass a law for that. Or we're not going to give you funding for that. And no matter what happens, and they control the budgeting, they control whether there's going to be a law or not. And this is a judiciary branch that actually, well, we don't want to talk too much about that. But that's probably a future question right there. John, number two, question for citizenship today of the five questions that we're going to ask on the U.S. citizenship test is what are the two parts of the U.S. Congress? What are the two parts of the U.S. Congress?
Is he still thinking?
I don't know. All right. Here we go. This is very exciting. This is going to be your final answer, right?
My only answer.
Your only answer.
My first answer.
And the question's going to be, and this is the question, what is the answer to this, the U.S. citizenship test, is what are the two parts of the U.S. Congress?
Would that be the Senate and the House of Representatives?
Hey! Oh, wonderful. That's so good. Oh, my goodness, man. That is so, so good. You did really, really well. You did really well on that. Congratulations.
Well,
so far, you can unpack the Samson fright. I mean, you're not going to have to go anywhere. Now, Pat.
You going to give me the answer first before you give the question like you did for him?
Well, he didn't know that. He thought deeply about it. He thought deeply about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, this is a good one.
That's all right.
This is a really good one right here.
I'll take mine legitimately. That's cool.
Okay, this is going to be legitimate.
Oh. How competitive.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. A Saints fan wins once. Just once. One big paycheck, you never hear the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
One payday.
And his hair gel is perfect today, isn't it?
Yeah, I was watching a story about the, probably on the ESPN, about the... NBA players and NFL players that you live your whole life just scraping, getting by and all this kind of stuff. And so you spent all your money and everything on just being there, getting the grades, that type of thing. So when you get your first paycheck, you go from like, you know, I'm in the hole and in debt to all of a sudden you have $1 million check.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you who the player was that, so they paid the player and the player, the company, the owner of the team, realizes that the check never cleared. And so they go back and said, you know, we noticed that you never cashed that check. And he goes, well, I framed it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
And it's talking about how a lot of them are just coming from, you know, just the basics of life and never had, they had money. And all of a sudden they go from zero money to millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, one guy, he said he got his money, one of the baseball players, and got it all in 20s. and then put it in the hotel room and watch the game or something. Because $20. He said, I thought I would never spend all that.
Yeah, right.
He spent it all. Mm-hmm. So here it is. Here it is. This is for $10,000.
You're on the wrong button there.
Oh, okay. Right here.
You're setting me up.
No. Okay. Isn't that amazing? This guy, he's so competitive.
Really?
We need to pray for Tracy. We need to pray for Tracy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Tracy.
Definitely.
Bless her heart. Oh, my goodness.
That's how that chili got so good. They had a chili cook-off or something. They were, you know.
They must have. It must have. Well, here's the question, Pat. How many U.S. senators are there? How many U.S. senators are there? The U.S. citizenship test. Okay, here it is.
Slide it over. You're on the wrong one.
Here it is. How many, this is U.S. citizenship test to be able to become a citizen of America. How many senators, how many U.S. senators are there?
100.
Hey, very good. Yes, there are 100 U.S. senators because there are 2 senators from every state. Even if you're New Hampshire, even if you're 1.3 million
North
population,
Dakota.
North Dakota or whatever, you get 2 of them.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy? Or California. Amazing. California gets Nevada. 2 of them. Isn't that crazy? It's just wild. Yeah, no, and it's something. It's amazing. Then you can rule. And then you think of Massachusetts. You know, Massachusetts got 2. When you think about Kennedy, you know, John Kennedy, he was from, you know, little Mass, but had a big boast, you know, coming out because every senator. I think that's powerful, isn't it?
Huge.
To have that kind of representation there. So it's very important. So when you think about the Congress is made up, as John said, that of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so we're finding out here that the U.S. Senate has 2 senators from every state. And since, unlike our president said during his campaign, which I can totally understand how you can mess up on that, he said, I've been to all 57 states. I can understand that.
Yeah, right.
People don't understand that. I can totally understand that. So that means there's 100. So how many seats do you need every time the Senate meets?
How many what?
How many chairs do you need?
100.
Very good. That wasn't even like a sideline.
Oh. That's the bonus question.
Yeah, Pat's looking at me. Oh, my goodness. How big are the senators? How big are the senators? Okay, question number next.
Okay.
Question number next is, John, this is the question for the U.S. citizenship. We elect a U.S. Senate. A U.S. senator, think about it. We elect a U.S. senator for how many years? We elect a U.S. senator for how many years? Okay, here it is. This is the question for U.S. citizenship. We elect a U.S. senator for how many years?
Alex, what is 6 years?
Hey, very good. Oh, I just knew. I was hoping Pat would get that one because Pat's going like, oh, that's pretty good. I didn't know that was amazing. Totally amazing. It's pretty cool. And so you think about when you actually, when your senator got elected in your state, they have 6 more years before they have another election.
Wow.
You can do a lot of damage in 6 years.
Yeah, that's too long.
You can do a lot of damage. That's why you see a lot of crazy things happen in a 6-year period. But they thought this out, and it's kind of, well, we won't talk about too much more of that. Might give the answer to the next one.
Yep. Don't do that. It's his turn.
Pat.
Yes.
How many, this is for U.S. citizenship, how many aides does each U.S. senator have? That's not a question. You should see the. He's thinking. It was priceless.
I'll fix a pack of my bags.
It was priceless.
Oh, no, it was priceless. We need to, times when you wish you had a video.
Oh, I did. I'll remember that forever. He was deep thoughts. He got quiet. He wasn't boastful.
Oh, no.
I was just counting how many. How many suitcases I had.
Yeah, right. So, Pat, here is the question. Who is, I guess both of you guys can answer this question. Okay, who is one, since you have two, right? One of your state's U.S. senators now.
I see his face as plain as day. All right, you can turn it off. It ain't coming.
He's obviously aggressively fighting for our country. You can tell because he's in touch with the two guys, just two out of 7 million people in Florida, two guys that represent us, you know, in Washington, D.C. I mean, obviously he's on.
The answer was for one.
They text each other. I know, just one. Out of two guys, you know, just one of them. Welcome to America.
Welcome to Florida.
Welcome to Florida. No doubt. So, Pat.
I see him.
It's a lady.
And he just, there's two.
Come on.
There's two. They're only, the one I can think of. He's
okay.
Like,
starts with the.
No.
Hold on. You answer your own state.
You're okay. It has all vowels and consonants in it.
He's a Democrat. I don't know his name. It's gone.
John, give us one of your senators' name for New Jersey.
New Jersey. Bob Menendez.
He's looking at his computer screen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's just an unfortunate. He's a little permanent fixture right here.
But this is the question. The question for you is: do you know who your two senators are? And if it's a representative government, then they're representing you, and so they should be speaking to you, and you should be speaking to them. And if you're not speaking to them, who are they representing?
Mm-hmm.
But in Pat's state, it would be Senator Marco Rubio.
Rubio.
Who was the presidential candidate.
He was not a candidate.
Yeah, he was. No, he was going to be on the ticket. He was,
yeah,
but they made a mistake and didn't put him on the ticket.
Considering throwing his name around for a long time.
Yeah, right. He was not on the ticket. Come on, no, please. And Florida would be Bill Nelson.
Nelson. That was the one I was trying to.
He just hangs around. We don't know how it happens.
He's
just kind of there. It's a Southern vote. There. Talking about the Southern vote. That's a Southern vote. But it's so important. Think about it, that if you have two senators from every state and it's representative government and they serve because you allow them to serve, how important is it for you to know their names instead of just saying, those political people take care of that?
Mm-hmm.
And because you can act today with this kind of technology, it's important for you. So you know what? You can download an app from your two senators and you can email them from your iPhone or your Android phone. You can pull up their and book note their websites that you can communicate to your senator on certain issues. That you don't even have to call them today, but you also have their numbers to call them. So when something happens, like right now, what's taking place right now in Washington with the financial cliff, you know, you should be contacting your senators and saying, listen, what's going on? Now, if you have a Democratic senator, then they're in the majority in the Senate and the Republicans are in the minority, which means pretty much that ever how the majority wants it to go in Congress is how it goes. But in the House of Representatives, that the Republicans have the majority there. Mm-hmm. And so when you have Boehner, who is firing conservatives off of his group, you know, mm-hmm. he's a Republican. But when you have the Utah Senator Harry Reid, he's the president of the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say, Nevada?
Nevada, yeah. Okay. He is the Democratic Senate, so you have this kind of tension going on. But you can call him. If you're in Nevada, you can call Senator Harry Reid, and you could say this is how you want it to be, or call whoever your senator is. Mm-hmm. And it's not – don't think of it this way. Don't be intimidated. This is what's happened now. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, but they only have absolute power if we don't even know who they are and we don't connect to them. And realize they may talk to you like they are doing you a favor, but realize it's only because they've forgotten this U.S. citizenship test that we're taking right now, because it's a government by the people and for the people, mm-hmm. and it's a representative government, and so they're supposed to be representing you. But how can they represent you if they're not talking to you and hearing your opinion on it? So your opinion's important. It doesn't mean it's going to go your way, but mm-hmm. but you're supposed to. Not only is it okay for you to share your opinion with your senator or your congressman, it's expected for you to share it with them, and therefore you need to know who they are. We need to know who they are. In life, we've been so blessed in our country, and government has been so removed from our states that it's hard to latch into. I don't know if it was the 17th. I don't know what amendment it was, but the 10th Amendment, or the, I don't know which amendment it is, but it used to be where the states had more power, but they took it away when they did away. Is it 10th Amendment? But it was that the whole state as a whole would hold our senators accountable, and it's different now. It's more of a popular vote, you know, and that's how bad senators can stay in for a long, long time, is because you can get 51% of the people to do something almost all the time versus the whole state as a whole. I believe the amendment said that the state Congress would,
it's 10 powers of the state and the people.
Well, I think that still stands, though. But it's the give me a second here. I'm looking her up. It is. Yeah, it's the 17th Amendment talking about the senators, mm-hmm. and the state legislature. It's a vacancy.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing as we're taking this test and looking, you know, learning and discovering the answers to these questions. You know, it's quick. You know, we talked about the last ounce of courage, and basically the paraphrasing the quote from Ronald Reagan says that there were just one generation away from freedom being totally extinct. And it's important to look back and understand where we're coming from. It's important to understand what these constitutional rights are to us. When you talk about the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, I mean, right now that's so huge. That's so huge. We talked about on one of our previous programs that one of the reasons how that all got the framers made sure they got into the Constitution was because Great Britain at the time, King wanted to exact a stamp on all of your papers, of all the papers of the colonists. So whether they had a pamphlet, any kind of paper they had in their home, posted on the wall, a poster, they had to have a stamp. You wanted to raise money. Mm-hmm. The only way that the king was able to find out 3,000 miles away, if you had purchased your stamp for your piece of paper that you have in your house, was for the soldiers to be able to walk into your home, and they wrote a law They wrote a law that gave them the power to create their own search warrants. So at any time that these British officers, these soldiers, could barge into your home and search your documents to see if you had a stamp, to see if you had that, if you have purchased that stamp, which means that you were totally open, you know, to anyone just coming to your house at any time or searching you. Well, the framers made sure that, listen, this is awful. This is, you can't have this. You can't just barge into our home. You can't just stop me for any reason to see, you know, and totally take my personal freedom away. And we have the right to privacy. We have that right, but you're seeing that right being eroded every single day. And there's new laws that are, you know, coming on in.
Yeah, and it's the 17th Amendment, that talks about the state Senate and how they're appointed, and they have particular, you know, one vote. But understanding that at one point, the state would elect your local state congressmen and your state senators, and they would determine who would go to Congress, who would go, which would give you more direct insight. Because you're with your local state congressman more than you are with congressman, House of Representatives in D.C. And, you know, they got a couple offices throughout the states, and it's hard to get up and nail those guys down because it's a big responsibility. But if they served at the whim of your local state Senate and congressman, then they would have to listen to you because you're going to share your opinion with your state congressman and your state senator. They removed that. I can't find that right now. They removed that to where now they just got to get a popular vote.
Right.
And so there is no accountability to the citizens of that state. And now nationally, like Washington, D.C. is determining what happens to this country, when it used to be the states would determine what happened in Washington, D.C. And therefore, the people were more in control. It was more of a representative form of government. But when they did away with that, now it's like we're getting orders from D.C. instead of East D.C. getting orders from the people, from the states. It's just, and we got to recapture the original intent of the Constitution. And some amendments will have to be, you know, reinstated and even rethought it again. But you think about it. So the reason why you need to know, and this is the end, obviously, of our test, citizenship test today, is because you have to talk to them. You have to know who they are. So I encourage you, as your homework for this weekend, to go and find out who your senators are and realize, imagine them, you have two employees and they're waiting for your orders. And what do you want them to do? Mm-hmm. And they should be, and a lot of them are, they want to hear from you. They call you their constituents. I do what my constituents say. When you hear a congressman or a senator say, listen, I don't care what they're saying here in Washington, D.C. I do what the people tell me to do in my district. That's what you want. You want them to do what you say you want them to do in the district. People look at that as a negative thing because they look at it from Washington down instead of from you up. When you look at government, how it's supposed to be from you up, you go, that's great. I'm glad you're representing your people. Well, don't change your – you shouldn't be able to change your mind because you should be representing the people who selected you to go there, representative government. That's why I believe that we are going to have to come up with, you know, more parties, more than the two-party system. I believe that it was George Washington said that the two-party system will be the death of America because everything doesn't fit into two parties. There is no two.
No.
You know, just because you're selecting one party or another party doesn't mean everything's right about that. Mm-hmm. And so you can have several parties, and that would be more appropriate to represent us because we're a diverse people. That way, people, you know, if you want to live in that district and you want to live in that state and that's what your state's doing, you should have representatives that have your viewpoints. In turn, you know, if I want to live in a state and live in a district, you vote by moving. You vote by saying, hey, if I don't want that kind of government, then I would move change my geographical location in America and I would move to a different state. Today, everything's becoming formalized, federalized under the national government, federal government, and everybody's thinking that's great. But it's not great because we're giving up our individual, you know, 10th Amendment rights as a state. Mm-hmm. And we're foregoing it over to the government. One example of that is the health care law. The health care law is passed, but they did not they're finding out, it looks like, little by little, what they didn't write or did write in there.
Mm.
But the federal government has no authority nor funding in the bill to be able to set up offices in the states to regulate their health care plan. So they're just stuck. So either the state's going to choose to regulate themselves and the state will pay for that, or there's like 20 states or something that said, no, you're going to have to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, they can't do it because they can't legally come into the states. That's actually a precious thing. The very fact that they have to ask your state's permission to come in, don't give that up. Some of the things the Lord has been showing me, and we'll be back in a moment after this break, but is that, you know, states are going to begin to lose their sovereignty. And you don't want to lose your sovereignty here because you have a state constitution and it's the United States of America. It's not America. It's the United States of America, which means there's 50 states. Each state has their own constitution, their own governor, their own Congress, their own Senate. And there is the 10th Amendment that we send representatives to Washington, D.C. to represent us. But we're not joining the federal government. The federal governments, we're allowing them to participate in our representative government. I mean, it's a whole different paradigm.
Right.
But this socialism mindset of saying, you know, government needs to run everything is saying we're giving up our individual sovereignty over the states. We're saying, listen, you just do everything and we'll just get in line and, you know, pass out the whatever. And what the Constitution specifically says, you know, what is the job of our president? And it is to regulate commerce, to keep, you know, monies to be the same. So if you go, whatever state you go to, it's the same. And because in the beginning of the 13 colonies, that was all different monies in every different colony. It was a mess.
Yeah, it's not like the federal government's supposed to be there to support the states, not for the states to support the federal government.
Exactly. And to be able to defend us from enemies, foreign and domestic, our constitution, to protect our borders.
Right.
And they've taken on so many other roles. And that's exactly what Israel did. If you go and listen to SOS, the Tell of Two Kings, and VFNTV, you go to VFNTV.com and watch it maybe on your app. That's always been the battle. The battle is, do you want to trust God and be free in God, or do you want somebody else to fight your battles for you? Israel said they wanted a king, and they were turning their back on God and rejecting God. What are we going to do today as a nation? Are we going to say, listen, we want the government to be God and to be our provider and our source, or are we willing to do the hard work of being free, which means we have to participate in a representative government? We were back.
I want to encourage you, you know, if you felt like you had a call in your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Fine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also, join us in the VFN family. You know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. The interesting thing, I guess you could say it's interesting about the Lord that you discover is he gives us a chance to join him.
Many chances.
But he doesn't force us.
Right.
He will send prophets to us. He'll say, matter of fact, I'm coming to you right now. I'm probably letting you know, if you don't know yet, that if the church does not arise, if she doesn't awake, things as we know it in the nation called America, the United States of America, is going to change. It's changing before our eyes, but a third great awakening, a massive national revival, can change it. But we can drop the ball. I mean, right now, we've dropped the ball. And if we drop the ball, God will just move. The cloud will move. It's moving as we speak into India, into China. As a matter of fact, listen to Peter Wagner and Steve Hill talk specifically about that. I'll be right back.
And say to this should not offend anyone. What this should challenge you. This should challenge me. Okay, I'm a young man. Okay, and I'm speaking to many. You may say, well, you know, I'm this. Peter, you're up in, I don't know, 70, 80s, whatever. But the bottom line is you got the fire of an 18-year-old, okay? and the vision. The vision. And you see the world laid out like God sees it laid out. He goes, listen, if you don't take this and run with it, if you don't take this pure gospel that I've given you, and it's simple. The gospel is not complicated. If you don't take this and run with it, I'm going to pass the ball to somebody
else. You're going to give it to somebody else. That's right.
I'm going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to run with it.
Exactly right.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
And you think about it. Why would we have to be swallowed by a whale? Why do we have to go? He said, I will not go in the middle. I will not respond to the call. I'm not going to do it. But when he finally did it, Nineveh, a great city, turned around. You don't think, and this is what this is what God told Jonah. Should I not be concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Should I not be concerned? Should I not be concerned about this great city? Do you don't think God's concerned about the great nation called America? He cares. He loves the American people. He wants them to know him. He wants the church to rise. But you know what? If we don't stand up, if we don't say, you know, this is me, I'm ready to do it. God, use me. Here I am. Send me. You can find out. Listen, we have been preparing for you. We have been preparing for you. You know, all the way from training you up to rightly relating you, to bringing you into the Harp and Bowl ministry of Revelations 5:8, so you can pray and watch and make sure, you know, that you stand in the midst of what's coming. We've raised you up in unity, what we call the due space, being able to be together continually with all the family. We raised you up and be able to get connected and rightly related and get discipled, and not only get discipled, but to go through VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, to train you again in the simplicity. It's so simple. It's not complicated. Religion complicates things, but it was so simple that the fishermen were doing it, and it just blew the mind of all those that invested so much in gaining so much knowledge that there were no longer any use in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of my spiritual father, Ken Summerall. This is what he says. He says two things. One is, he says, every time I began to get insecure about things when I was in ministry, when I was young, I would go get a degree. I would get more education. He said, I was dying by degrees. I had to unlearn everything I learned so that God could use me. He says something else in his book called The Flexible Wineskin. He says, listen, if it ever gets like that, I hope you, those that are related to me, I hope you will step away from that so that you can continue on with the call that God's placed on your life. Find out more at VFNfamily.org. Listen, let's do it. Let's believe God. Let's raise up for a day such as this. Don't look around for people to be your cheerleader. If they're not going to go, they're not going to cheer you on. But if you will go, if you'll be that voice, God will use you. VFNfamily.org. VFN, that's V Victor, VFNfamily.org. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began. You know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with Next Step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium.
And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. For some reason, this Christmas means so much. It's so much different to me. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Could be because I'm getting older and sentimental. All my kids are married now, and my grandchildren, and got a grand baby on the way, and I don't know, but just wanting to spend time with all of my family, you know, spiritual family, natural family, and just wanting to remember the reason for the season. Focus on our Lord and Savior. So if you're out there, I want to encourage you, and you're thinking about going shopping for gifts, that's totally awesome to be able to do that. Don't forget, you can do things, you can make things, you can, you know, write things. But also, you don't want to raise your debt limit. We're talking about there. You don't want to. I mean, think about it. If you're going to buy me a gift, and you have to go in debt for that gift, and you told me that you were going to go in debt and you were going to make payments on it for the next 5 years, that would break my heart, because I wouldn't want to put that kind of bondage on you. And our relationship shouldn't be to the point where you're going to have to finance the next 5 years of your life to go. Somebody says, well, it's not that big of a deal. But the way credit cards work, you can charge a small amount of money on them and you'll pay on it for the next 5 years. For the next 5 years, you'll pay on them. And that gift that you bought that may have cost, you know, $100 or something like that, or $200 for a PS, whatever, it could it's amazing. It's amazing what. So rethink it. You know, and if think about this, you know, having Christmas, think about December 26th, and it's over, the songs are sung. The tree is still up, but they'll probably be put away in a few days. Everybody, all the hugs and the love and the dinners, all the remembrances and all the fellowship you have with your spiritual family, and it's all done, and you owe no man nothing but love. It's over with.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you, don't get into debt this Christmas. Realize that, you know, and you can go to VFNTV and watch Restoring the Purity of Giving, or listen to Restoring the Purity of Giving, because it'll really encourage you and remind you of the simplicity. I'll never forget Little House on the Prairie when they first started years ago. Mm-hmm. And for Christmas, they got like an apple, a shiny penny, and a cup or something. And they were so grateful. Because it was just the whole thing about apple cider smells and spending time together and focusing on it. It wasn't too far long ago. This is how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's totally different, but we can change that. You know, as the church, we can say, you know what? And you may have to give a speech. You may have to talk to everybody and say, let's just, on December 26th, we want to make sure it's a day of thanksgiving and gratitude, not a day of regret, that now we've got this big debt we have to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that get a high, your flesh gets fed by buying things, you're going to have to confront your addiction. And that's called lust, and you have to say, I can't do that. A lot of times people with that lust, spirit of lust, about buying things, that will use, I needed to get you a gift as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, they got a thrill out of, just the way a person who does a drug gets a thrill out of doing that drug, that you got a thrill out of purchasing that gift. It had nothing to do with the person you got it for. You were able to use your drug and use Christmas as an excuse. Listen, don't do that. You know, let's go into 2013, as we always do, focused on the one thing, Jesus Christ and his birth. I mean, think about it. 25th is just like 6 days away from beginning a new year. Let's don't begin it in debt. Let's begin it in gratitude. Well, you know, we always want to talk about the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment is where we share from Proverbs, and it's so important. You know, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And we're going to be talking from, briefly, Proverbs chapter 3, as we come to the end of the extra hour, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, and it reads, just let love and faithfulness never leave you. Think about it. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Think about it. Do you want to know what the secret to success is? This is the secret to success. Do you want to be able to, instead of doing all your networking with your business cards, do you really want to have a good name amongst men who actually care about them? And there's people you can never satisfy, but and to be right before God, think about this. This is what he says. He says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Love and faithfulness. Now, love with God is not saying I love you. Love with God is knowing and hiding. It's abiding. We talk about abiding. It's knowing, spending time with God, hiding his word in our heart, and then obeying what he leads us to do. That's loving God. Let obedience, let that love for God, you know, never leave us. Always. I mean, obviously we're not going to be perfectly obedient, but it's not about perfect obedience. It's about a desire to love, a desire to obey, and faithfulness to never leave us. And faithfulness is beautiful. And a lot of people resent faithfulness because it magnifies their reality that they're not faithful people. Mm-hmm. And if you are a faithful person, you'll find out that your fellowship with those people around you in the context of your work and your family and your spiritual fellowship will be few, because things will go and things will come. Faithful people, unfaithful people will go and unfaithful people will come and they won't stay. But those that are faithful, it just lasts. And with God, he wants us to be faithful in our love and our obedience. And there comes seasons when it's difficult to love. It's difficult to obey in the context of what you're going through at the time, and to do what you need to do at the time you need to do it, because it's the right thing to do. And to be faithful when nobody else is faithful, when everybody else is letting everybody else down, that you remain faithful to God and you remain faithful to your brother and your sister. Understand this, that if you say that you are love God and you are faithful to God, but you're not faithful to your brother, and you're not loving your brother, the Lord says you're a liar. The Word of God says you're a liar. So this is about how we are to each other. There's a lot of people that demand faithfulness to them, but they're not faithful to you. That's not love. That's some kind of twisted stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about that we're willing to do what Jesus did and to lay down our life. We don't leave God. Jesus never left the Father. He never left the Father. As a matter of fact, he never did anything or said anything unless he heard the Father tell him or show him, this is what I want you to do. I mean, that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And did he please everybody? No. You know, I was just speaking to one of my neighbors last night. I was taking a stroll around the neighborhood, and he was talking about, in the context of, faithfulness and how people just pretty much aren't. You know, they pretty much aren't faithful. And God wants us to be able, this is what he says, this is how we actually reach success. You want a good name? Do you want favor with God and favor with men? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. Listen to it. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.